Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to With All Dude Respect. That's right. I said dude. We have a couple of dudes on this phone line right now. One of them is me, Jim Ellis. I'm your co-host from the West Coast. We have somebody from the East Coast. Who would that be?
That would be Rick Wright. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, how's it going, buddy? How are you today?
I'm doing well, just chilling out and looking forward to getting into another exciting show. I love this topic that we picked for this week.
I don't know if the world wants us to talk about this. We've had two different opportunities to have some technical difficulties. Both have been successful in the technical difficulty part. But yeah, we're going to talk about it. And
yes.
It's time, right? I think it's finally time for the goddamn world to finally fucking wake up. Yes, I made it an R-rated show about what's going on, right? Should we not fucking talk about what's going on here, Rick?
I think it's not only should be talked about on this show, but I think someone should start really talking about it in a bigger and larger audience, because I personally believe that the ramifications of what's going on with the pussification of America is really, it's going to hurt us as a country down the road.
So you said the word pussification. That's I looked it up in Urban Dictionary, and they just say it's the state in which a society becomes less and less tough. When did you first, because I think you use that word a lot, right? I think I've heard you use it a couple of times. Where did you first hear about it used as a term?
It's funny. I heard it for the first time, believe it or not, at a guest event for a point team program, which is another, it's just a obscure reference for the listeners, but in our organization, Mentor, Discover, Inspire, my boss at the time invited me to go to a point team meeting, and one of the point men used the word pussification. And I was like, wow, I'm like, this guy just made up a word, and I thought it was super cool. And, you know, we use the word feminized and feminization and stuff like that, but it's morphed into pussification. And it's funny, the first time I heard like an argument about it was, you know, when we were using feminization a lot. It was just a catchword in our circles over here in the East Coast. And one man's like, well, what's wrong with being feminine? Like, you write, you know, and of course it turns out that he's like he's a self-proclaimed feminist. So like, I didn't know then, but that's why he was starting the argument. So, you know, I don't want to get into that debate, but I like the word, and I think it's the word that describes it the best is pussification. So that was
right.
The first time, you know, my introduction to it. So what about you? When was the first time you realized that, you know, things are becoming pussified?
Pussified. Well, I remember a George Carlin YouTube video that he used that word, and he was talking about, you know, how weak society is becoming, and he's done other, you know, rants. He's a ranter, that comedian is. Mm-hmm. He rants about, you know, how dumb, you know, people are, and how it's all screwed. We're all gonna, you know, we're all like lowering our standards. These are my words, but the word he used was pussification, around the fact that there was a chain of restaurants, chain of like Harley Davidson restaurants. And he goes, Harley Davidson, man, that used to represent like really tough guys that would kill cops and like do all this cool stuff, right? I mean, he's a comedian, so he's making jokes like, you know, dark humor like that. He goes, but now we have a chain of Harley Davidson restaurants. It's everything is becoming so weak. And, you know, he's talked before in the past around how young kids, you know, in his day, you know, you'd play in the dirt. You would eat dirt. But now it's like you get a little dirt on you and you're like, oh my God, you got to get a tetanus shot. So to him, it's just been like this overreaction to how dangerous the world is and how we all have to be, you know, soft and protected and not be tough at all, you know?
Yeah. It's amazing how, and it's funny you bring up George Carlin, and he was saying that because he's been dead for a while now. So when did he, You know what I'm saying? So he sort of was clued into it a lot longer than I have been, you know. You know, so when was that? He's been dead. Jesus, when did he die?
Well, I'm looking him up. I'll look him up. But yeah, well, we've been, well, we had that word feminized from, you know, the work that we've done in Mentor, Discover, Inspire, and all the work we've done in the men's teams, you know, it's always been like you're feminized, which means which means what? Actually, what does it mean on the East Coast? Or how do you guys use the term?
Well, it seems like it would be more you identify. We always like to say don't mother men in our circle. You know, it's more like you want to father men, or you want to, you know, just like mentor somebody. You know, don't mother them. You know, if they really are, I don't know, if they're acting very feminine, you know, if they're not acting, I guess, in the prototypical way a man should act. And you know, preparing for this show, I sort of like thinking, I'm like, well, what is that? And like, why does my ideal of that have to be what it is? Like, there's so many different levels of manliness, right? Like you mentioned the Harley Davidson guys. Like, I see Harley Davidson guys, like, they're just douchebags. Like, they look menacing. And I think that they want to look menacing. And I've talked to a couple of them, and I think they just like to look menacing. Because when you talk to them, they're just like a regular guy, you know? So I'm not sure if that's a mature, masculine way of being. And then, you know, then you have a guy who's, you know, who just carries himself as very stoic, doesn't talk, you know, doesn't say very few words, just look at him. You know, a guy who probably doesn't have a lot of fun. Like, yeah, he's probably, you know, he's a manly man. But is he having a lot of fun? What's going on behind all that facade? You know, then you have a guy like me who's like, you know, I like guns. I ride bikes. I like to do some adventure stuff, a little dangerous shit every now. You know, I like that stuff. I don't know. What does that make me? Crazy? You know, a little, you know, fun masculine? I don't know. Adventurous, you know?
Right.
You know, and then you got men who are very emotional. And then you got men who are very, you know, connected to the, this is how you made me feel. You know, I've been in a circle where, you know, this made me feel this way. And I'm like, all right, you know, that's what he's feeling. But at the end of, you know, at the end of the day, it's sort of like, I guess it's how you put it, like your way of being when you're saying something like that, or when you're going deep.
Right.
But then also like we don't, I feel, this is my personal statement, I don't want to shut men down either, because we want, what we do is we want men to feel, we want them to be able to say what they need to say in a safe space. And we create that. So there's, you know, there's so many levels of it, but you know, but I think what we're talking about, and again, I sort of go off on these things, if I'm talking too much, just jump in on me. I think it's more the pussification of America, where we're talking about the snowflakes, and like you said, kids can't play in dirt anymore because they get one scratch and they're, you know, they're you know, they're running to the hospital. You know, a lot of people nowadays are, you know, I have a man that I know, is his son just like absolutely like went to school and just ratted him out on some personal stuff. And I said to myself, I said, man, I said, I would be locked in my room for a month. It'd be like solitary confinement. I wouldn't have a phone. Well, back then we didn't have phones. A TV, a stereo, nothing. I'd be left in a room. No books, no nothing. Like, that was my punishment. Stay in your room. That used to be my punishment, you know.
Right.
And I think what they did was they sat him down and they had a conversation with him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there was any consequences for what he did. Like, and I think that's part of what's going on. There's no more consequences. If I did something wrong when I was a kid, I got my ass beat. You know, not bad, you know, but I got smacked.
Right. So, yeah, because the old, and a lot of these terms, you know, it's so ethereal. It's not like a measurable black and white that we're talking about. So that's why you have conversations like we're having right now. You know, we can't just, like, look at a scientific book and say, yes, this is what that is and that what this is.
Right.
And the other truth is, it's not about a woman. It's not about, even though we say the word feminized, and even though we say pussification, has nothing to do with a body part, you know, and that's where we can actually get lost in the conversation and be, you know, misogynist, called that, and another term that's ethereal. You know what? What we're talking about, what I believe you and I are talking about, is the lowering of standards, is the treating adults even as unaccountable children. It's it's making things easier on people rather than challenging them. I mean, there's so many different levels of it. The first time I really felt it like taking over the media and taking over even sports was when Jonathan Martin, who was a offensive lineman for the Miami Dolphins, decided that his friend, quote-unquote friend, was actually bullying him on the same offensive line team, Richie Incognito. So Jonathan Martin says that Richie Incognito is bullying him. But he doesn't say it out loud. He doesn't tell anyone. He just walks away. The man walks out of camp. All right? So he's quitting. He's quitting on the team. He's quitting on the process of communicating. He's quitting on so many. He just walks off camp. Now, here's where the pussification really takes place. Not about a man running away from his job. That can happen. And maybe he's full of fear and is triggered by the past. Great. But here's where it happens. The owner of the team, does he hold him accountable for quitting and walking away from the camp? No, he texts him. He doesn't even call him. He texts. And then the coach drives by the guy's house to make sure he's okay. And then Jonathan Martin, the lineman who walked off camp, goes home where his mom gives him a new puppy. This is all real. I'm not making this shit up.
Jeez.
And
I read that in the notes. Yeah, I was amazed.
So, and what does the media do? They attack Richie Incognito because he used a name, a word that is so bad. It's the N-word. He used that word on Martin, who happens to be black. Richie happens to be white. But in certain circles, it don't matter. You just talk to who you think are your buds the way you want to. You just talk that way because you have an understanding, a unity, a brotherhood based, underlying it all, that you could talk that way. The fact that all that information made it out into the media and then the public scrutiny, more pussification, more bullshit, more, oh my God, is this really the world we're going to live in? Rather than, I mean, what do you think, Rick, should be the consequence? I would think the coach would say, you're fired. Like, you can't do that. I mean, they could have a conversation in the locker room, but it shouldn't get out of the locker room. But, I mean, that's it. That's lowering the standards. That's taking something outside, which should be left inside. And it's really treating an adult man as a little kid who can't just be held accountable. What do you think?
Yeah. Now, listen, I agree with you. It's like, I didn't know about the puppy thing. And again, when I heard it all go down, I'm like, oh yeah. I'm like, I didn't really get invested in it, but I thought right away, I just assumed that Richie Incognito was a scumbag. Right. And we both know that he's no saint either. He's one of these notorious dirty players, but he's probably a very high testosterone, macho type of menacing guy. Right. So, along the lines of acceptance, okay, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's this war on making something else, making a whole lot of other things that people don't really get that are acceptable in this world, and starting to outlaw or making wrong things that were acceptable. Like, where it should be just like, why don't we just become more accepting, right? Like, I just take notice, too. Like, I took notice recently, and I sort of got a little glimpse of this when I saw the new Spider-Man trailer, right?
Okay.
I'm like, they used to have, Spider-Man. The guy used to be, used to be, a buff Spider-Man. Used to be, a guy who was, had some, wasn't, the Hulk. But these men that they're casting now, I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, that dude's going to be Spider-Man? Like, that's, even the superheroes, they're making them more, more feminine. I don't know how to say it. The gentleman, I think, that's in there, he just looks very slight. He doesn't look like a superhero. He looks like if he falls off that fucking web, he's going to end up dying, or I don't even know if he can do a pull up if he pulled the web up, but I guess he's got Spidey strength. So that's just saving grace. But anyway, so that's what I'm getting, man. It's just like it's everywhere. And like you said, it's like there's almost like I read in the notes too. It's almost like it's wrong now to be masculine. And the common question that comes at all this stuff, like especially like we did our political special, like you were talking about liberals and stuff like that. And I just touched a little bit on like accepting and. I'm just trying to figure out, like, why? Like, why is being pussified okay? And why is being, like, masculine or, like, being, like, saying the word man up or, like, being a man or, like, you know, having consequences for kids? Why has that gone wrong? I don't know the answer. I'm asking you.
I'm just wondering if it's a pendulum swing reaction to all the times that there has been abuse. I mean, there is a lot of abuse. We're not going to pretend like, oh, yeah, there's no abuse going on. There's no one bullying. It does happen, and it has happened. And men who are, you know, douchebags, as you would say, they will be dishonorable, and they'll, you know, they'll beat on wives, you know, and be abusive. So that happens. So I think there's a natural pendulum swing to the other side. Like, okay, that means that all men must not be a certain way, because if you are, then you're all lumped into this, like, abusive land. It reminds me of, like, remember that, this was way back, you know, reruns of Brady Bunch. Remember the Brady Bunch that, like, Greg wanted to be a football player, but his mom is like, no, he can't play football because he might get hurt. I don't know, this just sticks in my head for some reason, that rerun, because it's like, well, there's a situation where a mom... There's nothing wrong with, like, mothering in that it comes from a place of care, but when the father or, you know, the masculine role takes on that same, you know, stance of, well, we got to protect only and not allow little Johnny to maybe even break his leg, you know, you're taking away life, you're taking away risk, you're taking away all this stuff that I believe has been in, you know, the masculine camp. And so... Again, the pendulum swings, and it's just gone to a place where, yeah, we're losing a lot of strength and a lot of black and white measurability in reality, because people are so emotional about it.
Yes.
And like, when the emotions run the show, then it can go all over the map. So
yes,
got to be like a balance, I think.
But I think that pendulum was already, I think now people have started to swing that pendulum back in a way, just because of their recent choices in the election.
Yeah.
You know, it's just their, the political correctness of everything, you know, even now, like we're having a good open conversation. I mean, there's probably, if there was a feminist listening to this, you know, radio show right now, she probably, mine would be blowing up, you know? She'd be like, holy crap, what are these guys talking about? You know, and then I've shared some stuff on our page, on Facebook, with all due respect. If you haven't signed up, you can go there, like us, you know, about the, about alpha males, how women, you know, like alpha males. And then also there was a good article about, you know, raising, you know, sons and going through an initiation, you know, in a lot of cultures around the world. They have this rite of passage, you know, and here in America, you know, we're giving out trophies for participation. You know, I go back to why. Okay, yeah, we're abusive idiots, and there's going to be abusive idiots. You know, but if in the perfect world of what people want, or whoever's in charge, or whoever's trying to create this, like, what do they eventually want? Do they just want, like, a subservient, like, adult male, and just so they can take over? Like, I don't know, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's one thing I love about our circles, our Mentor, Discover, Inspire circles, is that we do have a space for just allowing ourselves to be the masculine, you know, alpha if it's alpha, be, you know, just out there, even appear arrogant, whatever it is, tell the truth. And at the same time, there's this element that we have inside of MDI, which makes it safe, not just for us, but for women, children, families, because that's what the fear is. The fear is, oh, yeah, if like if masculinity runs amok, then we're all going to be just like, you know, pounded down and bullied, and it's, you know, all this stuff or abused. No, since we have the aspect of honor, since we have honor, we have that element, then now we have integrity and we have an agreement with a bigger picture to take care of families, children, careers, communities. Since we have that, for me, that frees me to be, you know, as masculine as I can, because I know I'm not going to hurt anyone. I think the fear is that pure masculinity is going to hurt women in some way. That's why I think some women want to control the man or the masculine, because if they don't control him, then they're not going to be safe on some level. This is like a deeper level of it, I believe. So as long as a man can show integrity and honor and the fact that he's going to be taking care of family, communities, and careers, then I think the women can relax and actually get a gift from the man that they might not have before that.
Yeah, and just to piggyback on what you just said in that article about the alpha male, it was the reason, and again, they sort of say like women, like, you know, they address what's going on now, but on a deeper level, women want to be taken care of, or they want to feel protected
right.
on some levels, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, a you know, guy walks into his house and the woman hands him his battle axe, you know, feeds him his food. Like, no, I'm not like saying that. I'm just saying, you know, there's some level, you know, when another human is with another human being and some shit goes sideways, you know who's going to be able to help you and support you. Even in my circles, you know, like I know, like if shit hit the fan, like I know who I'm going to be able to count on. I know who's going to end up getting, you know, they'll be gone in the first wave. So it's, but again, and I'm not making that right or wrong. It's just, that's what it is. So what's pissing me off, and that's why I'm so glad we started this radio show and this web and this page on Facebook. It gives me an outlet just to support masculinity in men. Like I believe that there's a great balance to have men who can own their masculinity and enjoy their masculinity and just really be, you know, have successful lives and give all that other stuff that you were talking about, you know, good father, good provider, good, you know, hard worker, all these great things, you know. But if you want all those great things too, you also have to let them, you know, to be adventurous and have adventure and have fun. You don't know how many times, that's the first question I ask a man if I want to, you know, see if he's interested in being a part of our circle. When was the last time you had fun? I took my kids to the movies. I go, no. When was the last time you had fun? Oh, me and my wife, we went out to dinner. Oh, when was the last time you had fun? Oh, well, that was a Johnny's thing. It was great. I'm like, no. I'm like, you're not listening to me. I'm like, when was the last time you had fun? And you know what? Most of them are like, I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm just like, and that's what kills me. I'm like, ugh. I'm like, you want some fun, man? I'm like, you probably want a little fun, right?
Right.
I'm like, yeah. You know, I love some fun. When was the last time I had fun? I was like, when was the last time you had fun? I'm like, half these guys, you know, they don't even know what fun was.
Right. Yeah, I think, yeah, getting into a certain routine or a certain way of, you know, living your life, and you forget that, oh, yeah, there's this whole other way of being, like the way you were with your buds, you know, growing up or something, you know, not causing trouble, but just getting out there and, yeah, mixing it up, you know. And I wanted to kind of go back to one of the phrases you used earlier about the man up. There's this whole idea that if you say, hey, man up to someone, it's to a bro who's like not doing what he said he would do or not being in honor or just being weak. Like, to me, to say man up is to say I care about you enough to call you out on the fact that you're selling your greatness out. Like, that's the message for me. But it's kind of gotten thrown into this idea that if you say that kind of phrase, oh, my God, you're hurting their sensibilities. Or I guess if you say it to a child or to a boy, you know, man up. Oh, you're telling him he can't feel. I mean, when you say that to a man, do you say that to a man? And what are you intending to say when you say that phrase?
Yeah, I don't say man. I go, man the fuck up. You know, on some levels, a man, you know, if a man is sharing or getting into some shit, and he starts complaining and going to victim. I'm like, no. I'm like, man the fuck up.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no, I had a rough week last week, and I went to some places in my mind where I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, this sucks. I'm like, I started bitching and moaning to myself in my mind. I'm like, this, I'm questioning my career, my business. I stopped. I said, man the fuck up.
To yourself.
Put the big boy pants on. I go, it's going to get better. It's not,
so
stop with this bullshit.
Right. So, it's like step up, do your best. I mean, it's all very positive, and maybe it's just a phrase that, maybe we got to know our audience, too. Like, we can say it in our circle, and we'll get it. So maybe some other sensitive snowflakes, maybe they'll be, like, hurt on some level, and we got to say, what's going on with you? Maybe there's a different phrase. Maybe we just have a different language. I wanted to ask a different one, another question, because we're running, again, of course, short of time. How can a man process his emotions or, like, get these emotions out without being, quote-unquote, pussified? Because that's one of the things, like, it's like this pendulum swing of caring so much about people's feelings that the whole idea of them being accountable goes out the window because their feelings are so important. So how can a man process his emotions without being thrown into this weird place of being, quote-unquote, a pussy?
It's a great question. I think it's just the way of being. I'm a very masculine man. You can be a very feminine man. It's just how you're delivering what you're getting out. There's ways of, from what I've seen and the way I do, there's speaking personally and really having thought out what it is. Not coming from a place of victim, not coming from a place of complaining. Like I read everywhere, don't complain. Just what are the facts? What are you going through? What are your feelings? I think, if you break them down, I thought, was there five feelings you can, what is it making you, And then, what do you need? What do you need? And what do you need to move forward? And just take on something to be held accountable. If you're in a funk, what are you going to do, man? I'm going to read an hour a week. I'm going to work out. I'm going to make sure, if I feel that way, I'm going to jump in the shower, take a nice hot shower. I'm going to jump around, get physical, like something to get them out of that place so they can continue, living.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I say. What do you say? What do you say to that?
The thing is,
what's your thoughts?
Kind of emotions and deep emotions. I mean, that's a human thing. So we all have that. But, it's how you process it. Do you get with your men? Do you let it out? Do you find a new action to take so you don't go back to, being angry about a situation? Do you take new actions, after you've processed and got the emotions out? Do you make sure not to take out the emotions on somebody weaker, like a kid, a cat, a dog? It's like how you deal with it. It depends on, if you're being a mature masculine or not. If you sit around and complain, or if you want your wife or girlfriend to take care of it or take care of you, to me that makes you weaker. I mean, it makes me weaker if I say, oh, will you take care of it for me? I just become like a little boy. Whatever makes you a mature masculine man, as you process it, so you get it out, number one. Number two, you find ways where you can take new actions so you don't go back to where that was. To me, that's the most important thing. Dealing with it. And in our world, we're just saying, it seems so much now, it's like people's feelings are so important that it overrides the black and white accountability of what's really going on and what you actually did. So,
And along with accountability is consequences. There's no more consequences.
Right.
There's no more losing.
No.
Everybody's a pseudo winner. Winning.
I know. That's why I love sports still. At least sports still has, overtime and sudden death. And it's a W or it's an L, black or white. Like you mentioned before, there's like this participant trophy. Okay, you all participated. You get a trophy. What? No. Somebody wins, somebody loses. It's the agony of defeat, the thrill of victory. That's a masculine principle. Whereas,
you know what coming in second means?
Yeah.
You're the first loser.
And there's a beauty in that, because how can you really celebrate? How can you really, throw your hands in the air and celebrate unless you have the risk of the loss or even the losses in the past? Like, when the Kings win, they beat the Chicago Blackhawks in overtime, I'm jumping through the roof because, we could have lost it, not because, oh, we're going to get a participant's trophy.
Yeah.
And I had this one experience. I'll say it real quick, and then we'll have to sign off here.
Cut it off. All right.
But I had this one experience. I went miniature golfing with a couple of, like a girlfriend, another friend, and there's some kids there. And the mom was so concerned about the kids feeling bad if they didn't do well that she announced, you know what, we're just going to not keep score. We're just going to do miniature golf without keeping score with those little pencils and little pads of paper. And I'm like, what? I mean, I don't need to win here, but I need to, like, can we just keep score? But no, we're not going to keep score. So what's funny was, one of the kids got a quote-unquote hole-in-one, and the woman, the mom, who said, we're not going to keep score, says, oh, my gosh, it's a hole. My kid got a hole-in-one. And, of course, what did I say? No, he didn't. Not according to your rules. So, yeah, so let's, yeah, so the last question, then we definitely have to, you know, close off the show is, so what can a person do? Woman, man, child, everyone. What can we do to make sure pussification doesn't take over and hurt society?
Well, that's my whole crusade against liberalism. It's just accept. If you're going to accept, accept across the board. Don't dislike anything.
Yeah. And I would just say... I would say join a men's team if you're a man, or have at least some male friends that can call you out. And when they do, here's your first response. Thank you. Your first response is thank you. Because if anyone calls you out on anything, unless they're trying to get money or trying to get you to do something, they care enough to call you out on something. So you say thank you, and then you move on from there. See where it goes. If it's okay, Rick, I want to leave everyone with this one quote from a blog, if that's cool. Zach Evan, Zach is his first name. He has a blog, and he wrote this. As a nation, we have allowed the mediocre and the lackadaisical to set the pace. Until the pendulum swings in the other direction, weakness will only drive the will to exert oneself further down in darkness, while the strong-willed, disciplined individuals become a faint memory and a small minority still holding on to what made civilization great in the first place. I just love that quote.
Nice.
So we're out of time. Thank you, Mr. Rick, for another great show.
Thank you, Jimmy. It's always a pleasure,
again,
my brother.
For you listeners, Facebook, check us out on Facebook. Just type in the search box, With All Dude Respect. That's dude as in a couple of dudes. Rick and Jim, chatting about life. So thank you, listeners. We will check you out next Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have a great one.
You too, Jimmy. Take care.